Welcome to episode 369 of Fly Away. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. We have been a busy traveling group lately. Yay! Recently, Lindsay and Sandy were sailing on the Holland America line, New Amsterdam in the Caribbean, and we'd love to hear their thoughts on how Holland is handling the return to cruising. So let's get started. All right, so I have never sailed on Holland before. I keep meaning to. I was supposed to in 2020. So I'm super excited to hear about this, and especially because I like saying New Amsterdam.
I think Sandy and I both really love Holland, and I could see us being like those little old ladies that live on the Holland ship.
Well, officially. I wasn't going to say anything.
So it felt a little bit like Sandy was like coming home.
We were not the youngest people on this cruise.
No, we were not.
No, and my understanding is that Holland is sort of bringing down the age. I mean, they're and it does seem like the programming and everything, they're trying to bring that age down a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I've been on 5 ships in the last 5 months, and I have to say the nightlife was the wildest on the sailing.
Wow.
Of all 5. Wow. I was out the latest.
Wow. It was,
yeah. So that's saying quite a bit.
We did meet some characters.
Okay, so let's just skip to that. We're going to skip around to the bullet points. So what kept you up so late? Is this a family show? Is it safe for family?
Yes, it's a family. Well, some of it is. We just won't talk about too much of the game show, but I will say, me, mom, and pop, know some dirty words. check on your, you know, no, it wasn't nothing bad. It was just a lively group of people. BB King's is mostly to blame for most of it. This most amazing music and actually the band, the same exact band that was on when we sailed on the Eurodam was on this ship. Charisse, the lead singer, I've been blown away by her since the first time I heard her voice. She's just got an amazing, amazing vocal range and truly, truly talented band. So BB King's kept things rocking and there were clearly some people on this cruise ship who have been dancing for longer than I've been alive and had some pretty good talent there. Yeah.
Still out there shaking it.
Yeah. Still out there shaking it long after I should have been in bed.
I was mostly in bed.
I can attest to the fact that she was in bed and I was like crawling back to the cabin at 3 o'clock. In the morning.
Even on the last night when she was supposed to pack her suitcase.
Wait, it's Lindsay, so crazy. Putting off packing till the last minute? I don't believe you.
It was so crazy though. So
one thing that about old school cruising that I've seen disappear as I've cruised, you know, in later years was the ballroom dancing. Like you used to always have at least 2 or 3 or 8 or 10 couples on board who were like diehard, like foxtrotters. Is that still happening on Holland or was it just casual?
Casual dancing, but there was definitely some skill. There was some formal training a few of the couples that were out there had, but I would love to see that come back in some capacity on a cruise line. It would be nice to see some type of formal dancing come back. If anybody ever of importance listens to this and hears that little plea, because one of the cool things we did actually get to do on Holland that I've only ever done with Holland is the tea.
Afternoon
tea. Sadly, we did not do it every day. I always have this, I always picture us having all this time. We think we're going to have all this time. And, you know, in fact, Sandy and I had this discussion, 7 nights is so long. It's so, it really wasn't that long because we didn't even have time to do all the things we wanted to do.
Yeah.
you think you have all this time and you don't.
You got to do the stuff like in the beginning, you know, to make sure you did it. Yeah.
So how long was the cruise?
7 nights.
7.
Week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But there were a lot of port stops on this sailing, okay. I will say. We had, what did we have? Dominican Republic, we had 4 port stops. So that's quite a bit for a 7.
Yeah, and this is the Caribbean. So where did you stop?
We went to Nassau, Amber Cove, Puerto Rico, and Half Moon Cay.
Okay.
Oh, so two of their kind of private places.
Yeah, I was going to say. So that sounds very COVID friendly. I'm reading that right? I mean, was that the original itinerary when you booked it, or
no?
No.
That's a lot. Yeah. Actually, I feel like, well, we were supposed to go to Grand Turk when we originally booked it. That got taken off. I think we might have had another, like, Princess Key, maybe?
Cayman. I thought it was Cayman Islands.
Oh, maybe. I don't remember. It changed so much.
Well, Cayman and Grand Turk, they're not Cayman playing nice with others right now.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So that
in Puerto Rico, we
are you gonna out us here, Sandy? Are you
so we turned our phones on and realized we had to do a little work that day. And I went up to the observation lounge and I could see the fort from the ship, and it was only like two blocks away. So I was like, oh, let's go walk up to the fort. You know, we don't have plans. Let's just go do that. So we get out and we get off the ship. We get out of the like terminal thing, and it was raining. We just looked at each other and we turned right back around.
It's just so embarrassing. Yeah. I'm sorry, Puerto Rico. We spent a lot of time there before.
And I really wanted to see Puerto Rico again because, you know, I haven't been there since the big hurricanes, and I wanted to see it. But... Huh?
Since what? You tried to kill Lindsay, was that the last time?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
I know. I wanted to recreate it.
You know? She's like, no, I'm going to go do my own thing.
I actually tried to recreate that in the Dominican Republic, but we didn't want to climb the waterfalls and stuff, so we didn't do that.
Smart, Lindsay.
I didn't want to die.
It would have made a good podcast, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We can just ride on the coattails, so to speak, of the original incident. That's fine.
The original near death experience. I think that's one in a lifetime's enough. So yeah, we really were kind of lame with our port stops. We didn't do any shore excursions. Sandy did get a clamshell in Half Moon.
Oh yeah, Half Moon Key. That island is really nice. That private island.
Yeah, the water is beautiful. The beach is gorgeous. Yeah.
You can barely see the jellyfish because they're so clear.
And they are. There's tons of jellyfish. I did feel a couple little stings, but.
That was actually where my children scared each other into believing the barracudas were in the water and were going to eat them. And so they nearly floated out to sea. Yeah. They were much younger. And Finley was telling Marcus that barracudas eat people. And then Marcus got real scared. And then they both were sitting on the float and just basically floating out to sea. And somebody in our party had to swim out and get them. There's that story gets told around the dinner table many times. That's very similar to the Lindsay and Sandy death story. So, talking about the fact that the itinerary changed, this is obviously a COVID thing. So talk a little bit about how, you know, we've done several podcasts now and we have a few more to do on COVID protocols on ships. So, how was this the same? How is this different? Tell us a little bit about the protocols.
I don't know. You go ahead.
So it's 100% vaccinations required, and you have to also provide a negative test. We were in Miami for our conference that week, and we were able to get tested for free at the convention center. So whenever you do the appointment in Miami, it actually, when you're going through the steps, it asks you if it's for a cruise. So it's not even like you have to sneak and pretend like you live in Miami. You know, like they're aware that people are there for cruising. And as of right now, they're doing a free test for that. So that was super easy, and we got that done. And then they had the times to show up at the port, but they weren't super strict about it. And I think that's because they were less than half full. They only had 1,100 people on the cruise. So it wasn't crowded at all. And by the time we got to the port, we just breezed through. So it wasn't bad.
Did you get there before your boarding time or after?
No, we were after.
I think after is usually fine. It's if you get there before that they, the other cruise lines anyway.
Yeah.
I got there a little bit before my last one and I was nervous. Nobody stopped us, but it was only a little bit. So, so that negative test, that was a PCR test.
Yes. And Ben Miami did both tests. They did the rapid and the PCR. Okay. So, I think you had to have a PCR though. So it kind of threw me that they made us do two, but it was,
this
fine.
Is masks are required. So that's unusual for a ship that's 100% vaccinated. Usually that is, your mask kind of thing.
And I think their goal with this is to try to get people to wear them as much as possible. But people, you know, as the night goes on and the drinks are flowing, people are wearing them less. And they, I never really saw them stop anybody and say anything to them. So, you know, and then, you know, they were seating you with strangers at dinner if you wanted to have dinner, you know, with other people. So it wasn't like, I mean, you know, you, obviously you're taking your mask off for dinner. So I think it's one of those precautions that they're, you know, I guess they're, if they can get 50% participation most of the time, then they're happy with that. I think mainly elevators, you know, and your, like that, and the spa, stuff like that.
And I didn't want to use the word like more lax, but because I've been sailing every month since we've been back, and I feel like it, I don't want to use, there's no other word I can really use to describe it. Like normally you walk into the dining hall and you've got the person that's like on you if you're not washing your hands. And even if you washed your hands 2 seconds ago, they want to see you do it. You know, this was more like, we trust you. We trust that you just did it. And it wasn't, I think I got told one time to wash my hands. So it was very like, and then there was no mask police at the bar or at the shows. They did ask that if you kept it on. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, everyone seemed very courteous and
so were you, so with dancing, that's one place where usually with dancing, you do have to keep them on. Did they?
No,
enforce that?
No.
So they say masks are required, but your mileage may vary.
I mean, by the time you're dancing, it's like 10 o'clock at night and you're drinking and people aren't masking.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they're not masking at that time.
Coronavirus doesn't spread at night, so it's all
good. Yeah, well,
alcohol stops coronavirus.
I think by that time, everybody's like, look, in order to get on the ship, we had to all test negative. And you got to be vaccinated. And, you know, there was a little, the only time I felt a little bit like, I did feel like a Typhoid Mary on my last 2 days on the ship because I have asthma really bad. And we were hanging out in the back adult area pool section where the smokers were. And it didn't dawn on me that, oh yeah, we're hanging out here and I'm breathing in this cigarette smoke. And so I sounded like a 90-year-old smoker. By the end of
at least you didn't have pink eye in both eyes.
Oh my, I'm coughing like I got COVID, you know, and people are looking at me like,
backing away,
playing bingo, and I'm just like, I'm dying. And then every time I choke on like a little, didn't help that I was drinking drinks that had like gritty stuff in them. So then the gritty stuff would get in my irritated, you know, I think I inhaled part of my lemon drop anyway. So yeah, I felt like Typhoid Mary the last 3 days, but I did not have COVID. I had bronchitis, which is not fun, but at least it's not COVID.
So now were you on one of the first sailings of the New Amsterdam since COVID, or has it been?
I believe so. I think.
Yeah. I don't know how much they'd been back, but, you could tell they were kind of rusty still, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think though, the lady that I did a pedicure and the lady that did that was the same one from the Eurodam. And I think she said she had just come back in September. So
I want to tell them so bad about our spa experience with the family show.
About what?
I want to tell them so bad about you asking me about did this happen during your
okay, you can tell that story. We did a spa sampler that had a mini facial, which is the first time I've ever had a facial. Okay.
We had the same exact thing done. The same thing. We bought the same thing. I showed up at a different time because, of course, I'm always running like late, which is normal. So I get there and she's nowhere to be seen. And I sit down and I'm doing my thing. And I'm kind of worried that I'm not doing the same thing she is because she's not in the room. Because I'm in the main spa area where like the salon is. The guy literally sat me at his like his hairdresser table or whatever, and I had like the coolest person. He was so great. And but then we get done because she eventually comes out, and I'm in my head I'm thinking, where the heck was she? Did I miss part of this? Was there like a massage portion to this or something? And we get out and she's like, did you have to take your top off?
Sounds like Sandy got the better end of the deal.
Well,
no.
Yeah, but they did a shoulder rub and they told me that they would get oil on my shirt if they didn't take it off. So I had to wear a robe.
I think that's totally normal, Sandy. I think you got the better
It is. But she was in the same room that I was in, like in the like where everybody's getting their pedicure and their manicure and their hair done, all in the same area.
I had a robe. It was fine. But I did ask her if they massaged her ears too. And they did not do her ears.
Rubbing your earlobes? I'm like, no, it was suicide.
Every massage. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'd sign up for Sandy's person.
I didn't get the cucumbers on my eyes like Lindsay did, though.
I got cucumbers on my eyes, and I had a nice neck massage, and he was very nice, and he did an amazing job with my hair, and did sell me some bronzer that at the time looked fantastic when he put it on, but then later on when I went to look at the pictures, I looked at it so orange.
Okay, anyway, so I'm sorry. The differing experiences for sure. But so let's talk a little bit about the food. What do you think about the food on Holland America?
I think Holland does really good food. Yeah.
I really, of all the main dining experiences, the Holland is one of the top ones for me, just for the main regular dining. The food has always been really good, and the service has always been very good. Like Sandy said, they were a little rusty on some things, but we only did the steakhouse for specialty dining. Oh no, we did the sushi too.
We did the sushi place too, and that was really good. Yeah,
that was really good.
That one was a la carte, so it wasn't like a set price, but it was still, even though I got like tons of stuff, it was like $20.
Yeah, like $20, and I would have paid for a meal like that here anywhere near Seattle. That would have been like 50, 60 bucks for sure.
Yeah.
So it was, that was very good. I've always been impressed with their food, though. I will say the hours of the buffet, and I don't know if this is a just coming back from COVID thing or if it's me having experienced non-traditional cruising very recently, and then going back to this traditional set time of dining. If you are not a person who eats at like, if you don't have breakfast super early and you want to have breakfast at night, but breakfast was like done by like 8:30 or 9, and then at lunch was like done before you'd even want lunch for me, and then dinner was done before we even wanted. So I kept missing the buffet. Like if I would try and go up and get something from the galley, it was always like, and one time they were closing early, and all I wanted was bread. So I'm like, I can't even get a piece. I can see the bread. I can see it through the glass. But I can't have one piece of bread. So it was, so it's very traditional hours for dining. And I would like to compare that to what, you know, I can't remember what it was before, versus, you know, what it'll be once everything's full, because like, there was only 1200 people on our sailing. So I'm sure
and I think
they weren't running.
I think part of that was them, like closing down half of it because it wasn't clean full, and, you know, and things like that. So that's part of the kind of rustiness feeling a little bit of it, but I didn't feel like I couldn't eat and that I didn't get to eat.
Did you have two seatings for dining, or were they only running one since it was only half full?
They had like a set hours to just come in. It wasn't like a set seating anymore.
Okay.
No. Yeah. It's like a come in when you want to between these hours.
That's
but boy, if you came too close to the end, because it did feel like a little bit, the first night it felt like a ghost ship, because I joked to Sandy, it was like, it feels like there's 50 people on this ship.
Yeah.
And so they were there was barely anybody in the dining room, and you could just tell that they really kind of wanted to get, you know, it felt a little more fast paced than what I remember the meals with Holland being before. And I'm sure that has to do with you know, low capacity and switching things over.
And not serving as many people. So things are coming out faster, right? I mean, you know, it's just quantity, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So how was that with the ship only being half full? Did you still have a great cruise experience, or did you miss the people? I mean, what was that like?
I didn't miss the people. I still felt like I couldn't find a deck chair in the main pool, which is why we went to the back. There are a lot more deck chairs out on the back pool. But, you know, it felt like, to me, it kind of felt like the right amount of people.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be hard to sail full. I mean, but that ship does have a great design to it. They do really well with the spacing, I think, on their ships of where things are. So the only time we really felt like a big crowd was a lot of the entertainment centered around BB King's, because that's also the area they use for the test kitchen. That's the area where they have the comedy club, the comedians. So I think the only time we really felt, you know, people couldn't get seats was maybe in there. And I kind of did feel at that point in time, I wondered why maybe they didn't have some of the comedians in the main theater instead, because they have all that space over there. But I guess it was timing. And so that was the only place that really felt like that. The pinch was the deck chairs, and then the getting a seat for the shows, because that was kind of a little crazy over there. But it wasn't, I think it was a good amount of people. I don't know. I didn't feel like 1200 to me, and never at one point, never did I feel like there were 1200 people. And I did see open deck chairs in the center in the main pool area a couple times, but they have a retractable roof on that ship because it does Alaska as well. And that's, if it's partially closed, it can get kind of humid in there.
Yeah.
And then it felt a little bit dampish. So we kind of both like the breeze and like to feel the breeze and hear the water. So we would go to the back.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm curious, you mentioned Alaska, and that was the last podcast we did about Holland was after you guys had been to Alaska on Holland. And one of the things you talked a lot about was the educational talks, the lectures and all that. The Caribbean doesn't seem like the sort of place that would happen. Did it still happen? What are your thoughts about the educational programming?
Yeah, so I like the EXE stuff.
Did you do which EXE did you do, Lindsay? Did you do any of them?
That was the first one we did was about Holland, about the history of Holland.
That one was cool. They did an EXE talk about the history of the company, and that was, we were crying.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yeah.
I had great plans to do the one, they had one about rums, which I would have loved to do because I'm a big rum nut. And they had one about, there was one about the deep blue ocean that would have been great to make it to, but those were timed kind of strangely in the middle of the day. And I think had they been at maybe a different time, we would have been able to make it to them. But I just, both of those kind of missed them. I know you caught one about finances, about offshore.
It was about offshore banking.
Oh, wow.
And blockchain, cryptocurrency. I left very confused.
Now you know how to launder money.
I know. I was like, I think I need a bank in the Cayman Islands.
What was strange?
For my LLC. Yeah.
What was strange about this to me is that when you're looking at the description, because there's no real description, it just says the name, and it's just this offshore and online. And I'm like, you didn't have no idea it was about banking until, where did you see the full description? It was on the thing, on the board or whatever?
I can't remember where I saw it.
Oh, maybe. It was an announcement. It was an announcement that came on. That's right. It said about banking. You're like, I'm going to go to that. You have fun.
They also did, you know, they have that BBC Earth partnership, and in Alaska, it was amazing. It was all footage filmed of animals in Alaska with that, the Lincoln Theater people doing the like orchestra stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wondered how they were going to theme it to the Caribbean. And it was more,
about the world,
kind of all over the world, you know, like it wasn't like specific to the Caribbean, but it was still really amazing and very cool. And I, that was,
so you
one
still
of my
get
favorite.
That element, even if you're not in a place that you would expect.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you still get that amazing EXE lounge, which one of my big regrets is that I didn't spend more time up there. I should have been up there every morning because those seats are so comfortable and you have the perfect view. And, but it's just hard when you have, and we have the thermal spa pass for this. And that's, that was one of our favorite things from the Eurodam. So we're trying to squeeze that in and squeeze. There really just isn't enough time on a 7-night, Sandy. I'm telling you, it's so funny.
I can't be gone longer. God, I felt like I was gone forever. Yeah.
We did that right after our conference. That's.
So what was the other entertainment? You talked about the BB King club, which obviously, well, or maybe not so obviously, is live music. But were there main stage shows? They do Broadway shows? What sort of things do they put up?
So they have a dance company in the main theater, which has a different, like they probably did four different shows. Oh, wow. And then they have Billboard On Board, which is kind of their dueling piano bar that's right beside the casino. That was really cool that they're really good. And they do like a request thing, a show every night. So that was really cool. And then the last night they were in the main theater, the piano players with the dancers. And then the girl from BB King came out and sang too. So it was kind of like everybody come do this big finale show. And that was really good. So yeah,
In the Lincoln Center, the orchestra, and just, you know, we didn't go see any of the shows, but walking down that hallway, you could hear them practicing during the day. Yeah. And just the amount of talent, and we saw them on the main stage when they performed, but
the violinist was incredible. From Pittsburgh. Fun fact.
How did you find that out?
They had like on the screen, they had like the players for the
she went around the ship looking for some connection.
Like, you look like you're rooting for the Steelers tonight.
You guys attract each other.
This is this is the perfect cruise line for people who are big fans of live music. It truly is. There is the amount of talent that the singers that were on the Billboard and the dueling pianos were very talented. The girl was exceptionally talented. The band and BB King's, just so much musical talent on this ship. I will say there is no karaoke on Holland the way that there is on other cruise lines though. So if you're looking for that, and during the presentation about the history of Holland, about how they used to make the guests entertain themselves. and now they provide the musical entertainment. So that's.
Well, and one of the things that's really making me want to try Holland is the live music element. And it's not, you know, it's one thing to say, if you're a music lover, come on board, because invariably it's like, but is it my music? But with Holland, it seems like it really does seem like they touch every single genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They do. And the BB King Club was, I don't consider myself a blues person, but they played so much
blues and rock
fun stuff, you know, that I knew and that I loved. So it was really good.
Was it blues or was it blues?
There was some, and there was more like, what, Lindsay?
Yeah. They had different sets. So they had like a set that was blues, and then they have a set that was like rock or pop or the hits. So it kind of went in, you know, so you could pick when you wanted to go, but everybody loved them so much. It would just seem people would just go down there and camp for all three shows for all the shows. And, just exceptionally talented musicians and
thing that Donna and I want to know the most about is the bars. Did you go to the bars?
We went to the bars.
They ran out of Truly.
Drank them out of Truly. Yeah, she drank them out of Mick Ultra. She drank them out of Corona. I don't know.
Because they only bring like 10 on board, because they probably have more to sell.
Well, I don't know why, because everybody likes them. But yeah. I did find out that they had a bunch of Mick Ultras in the BB King Lounge. So that was
okay. Well, I wasn't really asking about Truly and Mick Ultra. I was more interested in the craft cocktails and the skills of the bartender and the craft beer.
Holland has this, they have a menu of craft cocktails designed by Dale DeGroff. And I was really looking forward to trying them. One in particular was the old fashioned, it's a cherry old fashioned. It was a cherry smoked old fashioned. And I had an ocean bar. It was really, really, really good. $17.50. Craft cocktails are not included in either of the drink package. They are in addition to.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, anything over the amount of the drink package, you do have to pay individually for.
Yeah, that was something that I specifically remember that not being the case when my parents sailed, because I had to call and ask about it, and they paid the difference between like what the price of the cocktail was and what the drink package covered. And we kind of didn't have that experience this time. So I don't know if that's a glitch that they're going to fix, or
I don't remember it it being that way in the Eurodam either. I thought you paid.
Well, we didn't have drink package.
Well, we didn't have. Yeah. No, but I put other people on the drink on. I put other people on the Eurodam, and it didn't have. Same with the Rotterdam. When I called about that, I've every time I've called in about this, it's been a different. Yeah, so that was one of the things that was a little rusty. So I did not drink my way through the De Graaf cocktails like I wanted to, because I paid for the elite beverage package, thinking it would get me up to that $15 mark, and then I would just pay the $250 or whatever extra for each of these cocktails, and that was not to be the case. And there was no way I was going to pay another $17.50 per drink on top of buying the drink package. So that was a little disappointing. And it was, it's not very clear in any of their upfront marketing. So it's definitely something I will be looking into further for clients I have going on here, but it was still, it was worth every penny of $17.50. I will tell you, it's one of the best old fashions I've had. And even if it was made with a little tinge of resentment from the bartender for having to hand smoke, because he had to get out the smoker and do it the old fashioned way. And, he was not happy with that at all. So,
when we went on our last night up to the sushi bar, it's in the Tamarind restaurant. There's a bar up there too, the Tamarind Bar, that's like across from the restaurant. And I wish we had found that bar like day one, because it's gorgeous.
Andy, I remember having the same, because the bar is the same exact one that's on the Eurodam. And we had the same conversation at the end of that cruise about why didn't we hang out in this bar the whole time? And I feel like we always do that. We always spend our time, like you fell in love with the billboard on board. So that's where we went. Like every night we were in billboard.
We only went like 2.5 nights.
Well, it's that's a draw for sure, but
it's a draw. And the girl sang for the request. I don't know
why you're complaining, because it was only till what, 8:30 before she had to go to bed. So we had plenty of time after that.
And then I had plenty of time to go off on my own.
Exactly.
To be fair, it is not in like the most, you're not gonna stumble upon that Tamarind Bar. You really have to go.
You have to be going to that restaurant. Yeah.
So to be fair, that's part of why out of sight, out of mind does come into play a lot on these locations on the ship. The same thing with the EXE lounge and going up there and enjoying that spot. It would have been such a more, oh yeah, let's do this. Had we been spending more time in that area, but.
Yeah. Well, I think also when we did the Eurodam, there was more stuff going on in that EXE lounge. Yeah. That's where the ranger was talking, like the morning we were in Glacier Bay. And I know they did port talks up there, which I didn't see any kind of port talks, probably because of what our itinerary was. But, you know, they could have told us something about, you know, Puerto Rico, or, you know, like they could have done something, but
I mean, they talked to you about offshore banking. That's not normally something you hear a lecture about on a cruise.
But that was in the main theater. They didn't do it up in the EXE lounge. So yeah, it was like, so that was a little bit different. I don't know that they used that space at all where they had done that before. So, and we did trivia in that lounge too. Yeah. That's where we won the travel trivia and answered all the questions correctly.
Woo-hoo! Making me proud.
Yeah.
So what else did we, there was some other entertainment. There were some other things that I remember thinking I was going to do and then we didn't end up doing because we never.
Well, we didn't do the cooking shows.
Oh, that's right. We didn't do the test.
And they're a little different now. They're called port to table. And they, I think they always kind of tailored them to where you were, but they don't have that America's Test Kitchen thing anymore. It's called port to table now.
We have to circle back to the main dining room menus about this too, because this is something I did not notice on our last sailing that I think might be new. And it ties in with that port to table. There was a dish in the main dining area every night that it was like port to table menu selected, a special selected dish. So that was
and for breakfast every morning too.
It was really nice that they kind of tied it into the location. Interesting. That's more of a specialty dining feature that you're getting in your main dining experience with Holland, which is.
It's also kind really of reminiscent of river cruising as well. Like yes. That's sort of that element of the smaller ship feel where you can really get local ingredients. So,
yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, that it's good to hear about how Holland America is coming back with the rest of the cruise lines, and I must get on that ship, to quote.
You get on one, yeah.
Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly!